Hi, welcome to All These Things Podcast. I'm James.
And I'm Artesia.
We're a married couple navigating life in corporate America.
One part auditor.
One part PR professional.
We enjoy traveling, finding unique events, and plotting our next adventure. On All These Things, we talk about all things relationships, success, inspiration, culture, and anything else that's top of mind. Listen in and enjoy All These Things Podcast.
Let's start the show.
Hey, everybody.
Hi, everyone.
Welcome back to the podcast. Back like we never left.
Except we did for a couple weeks.
I know. There's been so much going on. Personal stuff in the world. And it's just been kind of crazy to jump back on the bandwagon.
I don't even feel like I'm on the same bandwagon, to be honest. I mean, with everything that happened, I don't know. It didn't happen to me, but it happened to me.
I know.
And I feel like I'm not the same.
I think that, so I, just for context, if anyone really needs it, we're talking about the shooting of Alton Sterling and Philando Castile after Independence Day. And I think these two killings in particular just really kind of shook us as a couple. We've been talking about it for a couple of weeks now. And I feel like we're still having some of the same conversations that we've been having since before that, but in a new way now.
And it's a new way, but if you can even imagine, and many people I'm sure can, how many dimensions you could choose to look at this and focus on this.
Yeah.
There's just so many ways to think about it. And I think for a long time, these shootings, these killings have been happening. And I've wanted to do something, but I didn't know what I could do that would have a direct impact on fixing this.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for a long time, I was looking for somebody else to do something substantive, because I know that the Black Lives Matter movement definitely is alive and protesting each and every one of these injustices. But I just kept looking for some other way. Could there be a law? Could there be something that could be done from a policy standpoint that I think would have an impact beyond raising awareness, which is what I think a lot of marches have been successful at, making people pay attention, which is
extremely important,
really needed.
Yeah.
But now I'm like, well, what else? And I kept thinking, okay, somebody else is going to do something. And I think that's probably maybe what made me most shaken and most different after this. I'm just like, unless something drastic takes place, people aren't going to do anything because it just keeps going.
Yeah. And I think what we were talking about is the onus has to be on ourselves. You know what I mean? We have to find ways to get involved. We have to find policies that are, restrictive, like what we've seen in North Carolina, trying to, restrict the use and the approval of the body cams, and find different ways that you can help directly or that you can help your community. And I think one of the things that, we hear about, but also that I feel like I've experienced this time more than any other, is like kind of like physical stress and physical frustration as a result of, the constant seeing it on the news and seeing the videos, looking at social media and seeing, different think pieces and seeing, everyone's very polarizing opinions, and that having that be constant, right? Like from Alton shooting to the next day, Philando shooting to the cops in Dallas, it's like there was all, especially during that like 3 to 5 day period, it was just so intense. And I feel like I was seeing in myself, I was getting headaches, I was feeling my neck like cramp up, just from reading, right? Like I actually wasn't going through anything physically, but like,
But you were going through it.
The stress, of thinking about it. And I think thinking about like the conversations that we have get very, emotionally charged. If we think about how safe you are on the streets, how safe my dad and my brother, and how we've had several conversations about what we would tell our future sons and daughters. And so like thinking about that long term, it's very overwhelming. And for some reason, and maybe it's we're more grown now, or we're seeing ourselves a little bit more in this, but for some reason, like this, these two incidences really just affected me in a way that I was not expecting.
I think it definitely was a way I wasn't expecting. I think when I saw the video, and this is probably the first time, it's not the first time I've watched footage from something like this, but it's the first time where I made myself be very aware of what was going on, what was being said, and the way that people were choosing to react to this. Mm-hmm. I watched the Alton Sterling video, and I was like, okay, I don't know how this is any way deniable. I don't know what way you have around this. This seems so unnecessary. But then to see the Philando Castile video and to see that happen and to see the composure of his girlfriend and to know that there was a little kid in the backseat of that car, mm-hmm. and to then still see people not react to that, that was something that was really eye-opening for me. When I say react...
When you say people, are you meaning like our friends on social media? Because that's what surprised me the most. I guess I shouldn't be surprised, but I have been really surprised and disappointed in some of the lack of response that I've seen from some people who I know, who I'm close to or whatever. And I think that obviously everything that you think is not shown on your social media. You know what I mean?
Right.
Everything that you do is not on your social media. So I'm not trying to say that, like, if you didn't put it on Facebook, it doesn't exist. That's not true. That's not real life. That's not anything. But when you see people commenting or liking posts that are like the antithesis of supporting this and right. supporting rights and supporting acknowledgement of the problem, I think that that's a big part of it. It's been really disheartening to me, like over the past couple of weeks, is just being like, so either I struggle with saying people don't get it, because it's 2016 and you have access to information. There are tons of videos from different groups on social media who have been like making things very clear, putting it into like third grade, language and comparisons. And so I struggle with saying they just don't know, because I'm like, you are choosing not to know. You're choosing not to see the other side. And if you're comfortable not seeing the other side, if you're comfortable not understanding, then that concerns me as well, you know?
Well, yeah, if particularly if you're comfortable not understanding, because that shows that you just really, really don't care.
Right.
And I had several friends that liked posts that I put up about it, because I was sharing a lot of news about this. I wanted to make this almost undeniable for people to see what happens and what people have to go through around these things, mm-hmm. so that people can be aware that there does need to be some change. And necessarily the change I'm particularly looking for is a change in terms of how we handle laws and how justice is brought, because you cannot stop certain things from happening. People have bias, people have overreactions, people make unnecessary and wrong decisions about how they do things. But I think the reaction to it from the public and what the expectation is and what actually happens in terms of trials and justice and handling things from the moment of an incident to the court case, mm-hmm. is what I'm looking for people to react and be upset about and to make change for. So I think if you can't show some concern about this, I really do wonder, because these are things that are happening now in almost every major metropolitan city in America.
Right.
And
it makes me wonder what it would take for some people to care. Like, I thought about this when Trayvon was shot. I'm thinking about this now with them. I'm like, so if my brother, was Trayvon, then would you care about it? Then would you be like, oh, wow, now it's a problem, because if it happened to him, then it's, I knew him, was wrong. Or if it happened to you, would then people be like, wow, well, that shouldn't have happened to him because he was whatever. And I'm just like, does the relationship have to be personal in order to get the, respect that it deserves? And I think the answer to that is no, but I'm just trying to understand the silence, and I'm just trying, and it's hard for me to understand it, because I really almost feel like there's really no excuse, because I feel like it's so clear.
It's to me, it's really clear. And to be honest, there are a lot of people who I think mean really well and don't get it and somehow have formed an opinion about it. One case was with a graduate school group that I'm with. We were sharing information about it, and somebody responded saying that the phrase Black Lives Matter was divisive, and that's why they prefer All Lives Matter. And this is probably, if there was one way I could say, okay, I'm different for sure, it's that I'm now really clear. When people send me something directly and it's a part, I'm not going after anybody publicly to like go to say this. But if anybody sends anything to me to that effect, or I'm a part of a group where I hear this happening, I feel like I need to address it to just make it very clear. And I try to explain the context in which this is happening. Mm-hmm. No one is saying at all that it needs to be focused specifically on Black lives, but these issues, these killings specifically, are happening to Black people, and no one's saying anything. But when it happens to other groups,
it's happening to Black people at a disproportionate rate.
Right.
That's what's important. It's another important thing to clarify, because sometimes people say, well, all people get killed by the police, but it happens to Black people at an alarming rate compared to how much of the population we are.
So, I mean, there's that part, and then there's the part where sometimes you have to go to work, which is the hardest part. Because for me, to not only just deal with this, but to deal with this also while you're in a work environment, because most workplaces and the offices, like, there's no discussion of anything that could be contentious at all.
Yeah, and most workplaces are very PC, you know, keep it light,
exactly.
Talk about the weather. And that's what's made it really hard to be at work, because it's not light, you know.
It's not light. But it's also real, and it's also happening, and it's also on the minds of several people. Mm-hmm. There's a junior staffer who works in the office, and we ended up talking about it because I could see it was affecting her in a way that probably she needed to talk about it. And I had a headache for a good day and a half while this was happening, because I was just trying to process it, but trying to focus on what I needed to do. And you know, literally, we found ourselves in a corner, like, talking quietly because of this idea that we don't want to, you know, bring this negative thing in here. And I think we both kind of realized that this was crazy. So, I mean, I have another coworker who talks about some social issues. So we brought her in on the conversation, and, you know, she felt like this was ridiculous. But I think she felt like, because maybe she wasn't Black, that she didn't have a place in it or to say something outwardly. Mm-hmm. And that's something that several people in the office are now working on. Just the idea of, how do we create a culture where you can talk about issues, or you can rally around in the same way that we donate money for causes around, right, other issues, the same way we volunteer with groups. This should be on the table, because this is a really pressing issue, because we'll raise money and we'll bring in cans for the food, for the homeless shelters, for the food drives, but no one feels like they could talk about this.
Yeah.
Or they can talk about the attacks in Paris and the attacks in Nice, but they can't talk about this, which happens here.
Right.
So that's something that really stuck with me. And, you know, I'm trying to help the group and figure out, you know, what's the best way and the most constructive way to bring it about, so that there's not just a discussion, but that there's also something that people can do. Because we're going to need people to do things in order to solve these issues, be it talking to your Congress people, be it, you know, writing letters, be it, you know, just having a better perspective, being it teaching somebody else who doesn't understand, mm-hmm, or explaining to them your perspective. Because it's not that people are dumb. People just need to understand how people feel,
right,
and how they think and how it affects them.
And that's why I think when we were talking about doing this episode, it's important for us to talk about how we've dealt with it individually, how we dealt with it as a couple, and letting people know that it is something that should be talked about. It's something it's a current issue, right? It's happening right now. And honestly, like, this is going to be historic.
Yeah,
this is definitely going to be something that, you know, 50 years from now, that people are going to look back on and be like, this was the movement of the time. And I saw something going around Twitter to the effect, and I know that the two movements are not identical. They're structured differently. They have different goals. But the Civil Rights Movement and the Black Lives Matter movement, the Twitter post was saying something like, if you ever wanted to know how you would have reacted during the Civil Rights Movement in the 60s, now's your chance. Like, how you're acting now is how you would have reacted. And I appreciated that tweet because, you know, it got me thinking about myself. It got me thinking about friends and family. And it's like, we do have to be a part of the solution here. And if you're going to be silent, or if you're going to be non-action oriented, then consider if you would have been like that in the 60s, you know, and where we would be if people just if people weren't willing to stand up, if people weren't willing to protest, if people weren't willing to contact their government agencies and politicians and change the laws. We're kind of at that point again for this issue. And we talked about like how we're like, you know, we really need to get like involved. We social awareness and awareness and conversations are great and needed, but also we need to do something very specific, you know, about this. And we are working towards that, figuring out what the right thing to do is, and being purposeful about it. And I invite friends of mine to get involved in this conversation, because I know that there's conversations in other households, right? Like, I don't right. know what's going on outside of the people I talk to sometimes. And I encourage people to like speak up when they hear things that are clearly ignorant or racist, or like you say, just, you know, where everyone's just being quiet, but like clearly we all have something to talk about, and entertaining those conversations, because sometimes that's where it starts.
Right. Just being willing to say something, because it needs to start. The conversation needs to start. And then once people are comfortable having a conversation, or forget comfort at this point, because there's so many people in places of discomfort at this mm-hmm. point, we just need to get to a point where we can address this issue. It is very clear that it is leading from a place of fear. It is leading from a place of racism, these killings, and it needs to stop. And it's not going to stop on its own, because too many people have died. Too many people have gone just without justice for us to continue to just think about this, read it in the news, see it on Facebook, and not do something.
Agreed.
So that's where I am.
The Black Lives Matter movement has recently put out their 10-point plan, which yes. is something that they hadn't put out as of yet. So, or they hadn't put out before. And so that's pretty recent, but they have 10 very specific things that they want. And I read through them, you know, the article that I read, and it seems like if they can, and we can be a part of like helping some of those policies get pushed, it seems like it could be something that works for different communities.
I think it's definitely something that can help change how things happen on a local level.
Yeah.
And it certainly can lead to a level of accountability, which in many ways can be the first step.
Yeah. So that is sort of the why have you been gone for 2 weeks update. Yeah, it's just been emotionally draining. I know a lot of people listening obviously can relate to it, but we do want to get back to putting out the podcast and bringing you all things
success, inspiration,
relationships, and culture.
But I mean, we just could not say something about this, because it's like we said from the very beginning, we're going to talk about what's on our minds, and this is definitely on our minds and present in our lives. So we hope that if you know anybody who might not understand or might need to kind of have that conversation, we hope that you're willing to do it. Maybe you might want to share this episode, or you might want to share a link to the Campaign Zero website, to join Campaign Zero, to see the Black Lives Matter 10 points about what, if people want to do something, mm-hmm. there are some resources out there of things that you can take up to really take action. And we hope that everybody does something.
And if you want more of a perspective, I know we read this book last year towards the end of the year.
Between the World and Me. Yes. By Ta-Nehisi Coates. It's I couldn't relate to so many pieces of that story, and I didn't live his life.
Yeah.
And trust me, you know somebody who has lived that life.
So if you are wondering about this perspective, or if you just want to know more, I learned so much by reading that book. It's amazing. It's called Between the World and Me, like you said. He writes it from the perspective of writing a letter to his son, and it's emotional and it's intense, and it really touches on some of the issues that are going on right now, and it gives you that personal personal authentic feeling. You know, it's not going to be sugar and lollipops, but it's real, and it talks about some real topics that particularly that Black families have in their homes, and concerns and fears that we actually have even now in 2016. So if you're interested, it's a good resource if you want to learn.
It's a wonderful book. And once again, I'll just say it again. I hope that people can take the time to think about what you can do on an individual level, because we all have a role in helping to make sure that this type of violence stops.
Well, with that, let's do our Be Better. This is airing on Tuesday, but we are going to do a Be Better for the week. Be Better is our segment where we give you a tip or trick that you can use during your week to make your work life or your relationship life better.
So my Be Better this week is, don't make decisions when you're in an emotional place. And really, when I'm talking about an emotional place is basically, don't clap back immediately. If somebody has affronted you, somebody has shown you some disrespect, sometimes you want to think about it. And this is a little bit of a cautionary tale in terms of, and a little bit contradictory to what I've been saying before, but I had to think about it a little bit. So y'all remember a few weeks back, I was like 30 everything. It was all about it. When you turn 30, you do what you want to do. And I'm still standing firm in that. But what I've realized a few weeks into 30 is I've been doing that quite a bit, doing exactly what I want, when I want, mm-hmm. how I want. And that there is a time and a place for that. And then there's other times when you might want to take a few minutes just to make sure that the decision you're making is the best move and the smartest move in the end. Now, the situation that I went through, a group of people were having a conversation. I heard about it. And based on the information that I heard, I decided, you know what, I needed to step back from this group of people because they're not necessarily supporting me and understanding where I am in things. So what happened, though, is as I thought about what I should be doing, I made a very quick decision.
An emotional decision.
An emotional decision, but it was the right decision. The thing is, at the time, I wasn't sure if it was right or wrong. It was just, I just was amped up and this is what I was doing. Mm-hmm. And I'm happy that now that the situation is resolved, that it was the right decision. So I don't have to deal with it. It worked out.
Yeah.
But in between, I wasn't sure how it was going to work out based on that, because I just made a quick decision. It was rash. I was in an emotional place. And this can happen in personal life. This can happen at work. It can happen in so many ways. And just in the way that you're trying to be a boss and you're trying to just look, I'm living in my truth. Sometimes it's worth giving it an extra thought and taking a step back for you to think about how you want to handle it, even as you're a boss, even as you're deciding what you want to do, because it could have easily gone many different ways.
Right.
So that's just my reflection after, you know, a month in the 30 lane. I kind of pushed it a little bit, and now I'm bringing myself back to a place where I'm at a happy medium, because I know what I'm about and what I'm not about, but I also know enough that there are times when you need to let some decisions sit, even 5-10 minutes, and process what happened, and then also process and game plan out what the next steps are going to be for you, because sometimes it's worth it. Because in the end, it was good for me, but I could have saved myself some time of like, did I do the right thing? Could have saved all that. So that's might be better. Don't make decisions from an emotional place.
That's good. That can also apply to emails.
Oh, emails, everything. Oh, especially Facebook and Twitter people. Please be careful.
Yeah. Don't write the first thing that comes to mind. Just think it through. Think about your, you know, employment. Think about think about how people can take screenshots and how that shit is over.
It's real quick. So, yeah.
My Be Better kind of goes to what we were talking about at the beginning of the podcast, and it's actually a friend of mine's Facebook status, and they posted something about, you know, racism and something, you know, bad, terrible about it. And then they say, recognize that this is really how some people feel, then promptly let it go and live your life in the way that makes you feel loved and makes you have joy. Make the choice, be happy, period. And I really liked waking up to see that message, because I know we've read a lot and talked a lot about self-care. I know that you don't like that as a buzzword, but I think that there is something, especially after this, you know, past couple weeks. Have I been moping? No. But has there been a lot on my mind? Yes. Have I been living fully? No. Have I been, you know, joy-filled? Like I normally am, mm-hmm. No. And I appreciated seeing this post because it just made me think, you know, there's going to be people who have their opinions about you. For lack of a better phrase, there's going to be haters. Haters going to hate, you know, or people are just going to be ignorant or rude or selfish or whatever you want to, you know, whatever negativity is coming your way that you happen to see or be confronted with. But the thing is, that's just the way they feel. Not like, you know, now you know. Right. And at a certain point, you have to let it go and you have to live your life. If anything, there have been too many people who've done so much for you to get this life, you know, in the way that it is, that you need to live it. Because they've gone through a lot worse. And a quote from Maya Angelou poem that I like is basically, you are the result of your ancestors' slavery, your result of their endurance, and the fact that they've had to overcome so much. So whenever I get really down, I really don't want to be sitting here in my very nice New York apartment complaining about something, you know?
Right.
Being able to have a job that I like and being able to travel like we do and everything else. So it's just like, remember the joy. Remember that even with hateful comments or, you know, people who are just terrible, people who are disrespectful, people who obviously don't have that much joy in their life, that you can take care of yourself and you can move forward with joy and happiness and you can let it go.
You can definitely let it go and you can overcome it. I'm going to jump on the back of your Be Better. Because there's so many points where you just feel like, okay, how am I going to make it through something and how am I going to get over this? And sometimes, honestly, you know, like you referenced your ancestors, you know that people have gone through so much more. And you know, we could take it back to the slavery days, or you could even take it back to, honestly, like some of our parents. Like, I know some.
Ew, yeah.
I know my mother and my father went through some things, like, as just nowhere growing. Close to us. Just growing up, just living, having so many things that we're not even close to.
Right.
They struggle in ways we never have even come close to.
Yeah.
So, focus on the joy. Know that you can make it. Know that you will make it. And make it.
Awesome. I like that ending. That's good. Everybody, have a good Tuesday and the rest of your week. We'll see you tomorrow with another episode.
All right. Have a good one, guys.
Bye.
Bye.